Today, there are some who are trying to pull Ukraine apart. We're providing communications gear, bomb disposal technology, transportation and engineering equipment for Ukraine to protect against infiltrators and deal with explosive threats. We will not allow this to become an open-ended process. Time is short in which to make progress.
That's the voice of Joe Biden, the VP, talking about the Ukraine situation. As you heard there, he was the man on the mission. But what has changed? Just more violence problems and no backing off at this point. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This is where we start. Overseas and troops doing the paratrooper deal, getting closer and closer to the hot spot. So hours after the VP left the Ukrainian capital, there's more fears than ever that last week's international agreement on easing Ukraine's crisis was completely unraveling. In fact, the Ukrainian acting president ordered security forces to resume their operations east of that country after the bodies of two people allegedly abducted by pro-Russia insurgents were found, and a military aircraft was reportedly hit by gunfire. Pro-Russia insurgents have seized police stations, we've been talking about it, other public buildings in the eastern part of that country. And they're defying the call to leave, saying they weren't part of the agreement by the Ukraine, Russia, the United States, and the European Union, so forget about it. Terrorists are starting to torture and kill Ukrainian patriots. So this is not good. The acting government, which took over after the former president fled to Russia in February, says Russia is really behind the unrest, which they fear Moscow could use as their pretext for some kind of invasion. Last month, Russia annexed Crimea, as you all know, after getting control of that beautiful part of the country, the peninsula. Biden saying Russia needs to act without delay, saying we will not allow this to become an open-ended process. Wow. Threats from the VP. So what does that mean? We're not going to allow this to become an open-ended process. Then you had the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry in a phone call with the foreign minister from Russia, Sergei Lavrov, who also talked about this evidence that separatists are continuing to increase, they're continuing to do that, the number of buildings that they occupy, and they're taking journalists and other civilians. They're kidnapping them. The State Department urged Russia to tone down the rhetoric and engage diplomatically in the East. They're not doing that. Hundreds of mourners gathered for a funeral service of three pro-Russian militiamen killed in a shootout on Easter Sunday, which is now under control of the pro-Russia insurgents. So they're venting anger all over the place. All over the place. What is the new economic sanctions? Because you better get ready to bring them on the United States and allies if Moscow doesn't follow through on the provisions in last week's accord. It's not looking good. They're rejecting it. They're saying, forget these ultimatums. And I don't think they're going to crack. They're not going to crack. By the way, Biden announced the United States is going to provide an additional $50 million to help Ukraine's beleaguered government with political and economic reforms. The money includes $11 million to help conduct the May 25th presidential election, voter education, administration, oversight, meaning somebody's going to get a big payday, and help Ukraine reduce its reliance, they say, on energy supplies from Russia. So is that money thrown down the rabbit hole? $8 million in non-lethal military assistance for the Ukraine's armed forces, which includes bomb disposal equipment, by the way, communication gear and jeeps. So Biden is the biggest high-level dog to head to the Ukraine since this whole crisis erupted. This is nasty, this business. It's nasty. And I think the in-between is not working. I mean, Biden was there. He spoke to 9 Ukrainians in a room with at the parliament. He had some media there. There was 3 candidates running for president for the May 25th election. One of them is a billionaire chocolate manufacturer. And then the front runner in that race, Petro Poroshenko. But right now, nothing is going the Ukrainians' way. And why bring this up at the top of the show? Well, the VP was there for what it was worth. And what does this mean for our troops? Is there any chance that we get dragged into this full force? And do you want to be dragged into the middle of the situation in the Ukraine? Do you want to be full bore again someplace else? I mean, this starts a war if it have to, if we really went full force on this. So now is this more a matter of chicken, or is it too late for chicken because Putin really is the one with the upper hand? And it's too late to grab the cards back from him because we've blown it. We've gone too far outside of the scope of being able to do that now at this point. Hey, coming up on this Hour of America tonight, we're going to talk about a couple of other things as well. By the numbers, the Supreme Court backing the power of the states to ban affirmative action. What was the vote? We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we'll talk about another Supreme Court decision on a TV service that could affect a lot of other companies. And the 15 cities who are submitting bids for the 2016 Democratic Convention. For the Republicans, it seems to be narrowed down to Las Vegas and Dallas. But there are other cities that are being considered, but they seem to be the two that are getting the most attention as the possibilities for hosting that event. It's always big because so many people come, the delegates and media and everything else. So many people come to the city, so the beds get filled up and people are out eating. And it's just a economic boon, I think, to whatever city takes it with not too much fanfare. They don't have to do ridiculous things, setting up a hall, but all that money comes from the party itself. So who's on the list? Just out of curiosity, we'll go down it. Like I said, my sources tell me it's, and maybe not definitely, but that it's really been narrowed down to Vegas and Dallas for the Republicans. Also coming up, we're going to peel back the onion with Andrew Szabo this hour and talk more about the Ukrainian situation and also about the situation here at home with a Supreme Court decision that now bounces things back to states when it comes to affirmative action and colleges. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
This is Bill Brown, Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, unfunded entitlements, looming Obamacare, the death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you are concerned about maintaining your purchasing power, consider this. Gold and silver are up 497% in 13 years. Call me, 800-686-2237, extension 332. Together we can discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Analysts agree the dollar's problems are increasing. Call me, Bill Brown, 800-686-2237 at extension 332, and we'll discuss your option of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar collapses. Call me, Bill Brown, at Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237, extension 332.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Another edition of Peel Back the Onion with Andrew Szabo. He's a branding, marketing, and positioning expert, also a public speaker, so much more. But it would take probably five shows to go through his entire resume. So we'll keep it simple, folks, okay? This is Peel Back the Onion, after all. And there's a couple of great burning topics to talk about with Andrew that we've all talked about and continue to talk about on America Tonight. And one that I know infuriates so many people that call and email the show, Andrew, is what's happening in the Ukraine. First of all, the emissary to go and speak to the Ukraine, the situation in the Ukraine, they send Vice President Biden, who comes back with kind of flowery messages. And then you have Secretary of State John Kerry, who called the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov this afternoon to talk about his deep concern after a deal that's aimed at reducing violence in the Ukraine, which has resulted in really no movement from the pro-Russian separatists who at one blockade opened fire. So I think you have nothing new, but you have a lot of chaos. What do you think of this, the latest round of what is the U.S. doing with the situation in the Ukraine?
Well, you know, we've talked about this obviously in a number of ways in the last few weeks. It's clearly Putin sees the impotence of our current president. And, I think there is a, although, you know, we believe that, and we've talked about this before many times, Kate, I don't think the American people have a stomach to engage in another conflict, but we still want a president who's got some backbone. And there is no backbone. We're again seeing, I was just reading before I came on the air here, that Syria, there's evidence now in Syria of chemical weapons again. And remember the line that was drawn in the sand that meant nothing? Well, is this any different? Also want to just go to one other really interesting thing that evolved in the last 24 hours. And we spoke about, we almost actually predicted this a few weeks ago, about how comparing what the Russians were doing to what Hitler did in 1939 when he started annexing, German-speaking peoples in Austria, the Sudetenland of Czechoslovakia. Well, ahead of a think tank that's associated with Vladimir Putin wrote the following in response to some of the things that we've been saying and a few others. Quote, one must distinguish between Hitler before 1939 and Hitler after 1939. Thing is that Hitler collected German land. If he'd suddenly become famous only for uniting without a drop of blood Germany with Austria, Sudetenland, and Murnau, in fact, completing what Bismarck failed to do, if he'd stopped there, then he would have remained a politician of the highest class. So basically what this guy is saying, and it's published in a Russian newspaper yesterday, that his position, it's very chilling. Because there is no doubt that Hitler crossed the line, obviously, in September 39 when he invaded Poland.
Of
course, the Russians would remember because the Soviet Union also invaded Poland. Because up until then, Hitler had satisfied himself with collecting lands of German-speaking peoples. Well, basically, what they're saying, and this is a think tank in Russia, saying, well, what's the big deal? I mean, the Germans did it up until 1939. Why can't we go around collecting some Russian-speaking people? Very chilling. Well, what's the big deal? Well, Hitler was also engaged in a number of other things, obviously. And, but to me, this is mind-blowing that a think tank director should basically say it's quite all right because the Germans did it before 1930, up until September of 1939. So, their argument is, obviously in Crimea, there's a lot of Russian-speaking people. Well, eastern Ukraine is Russian. Maybe some of the Baltic states are Russian, too. Who knows? Where does this end? I find that probably one of the most chilling things in the last 24 hours, and we have absolutely no response to this, zero response, because we don't know how to respond. We are, again, we're trying a policy of appeasement. You and I have talked about this several times, appeasement. Spelled impotence. And I don't see there's nothing to stop Putin.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's ridiculous. It's outrageous, really, frankly.
Yeah.
Putin's showing off his new military gear in the Ukraine.
Right.
And, he's loving this. Because there's no pressure. There's no pressure on the banking system, which we've talked to people here on the show, Andrew in Moscow, some Americans who said, well, you hit their banking system and, they're going to squeal then. They didn't do that. And the sanctions really didn't do anything to threaten Putin or Russia. And so it's just marching to the beat of their own drummer.
Right. I mean, I think one last thing here on this. The Russia that we saw of Gorbachev and Yeltsin is gone.
Yeah.
And something new and yet very familiar has taken its place. And the Obama administration, I think they're beginning to recognize this new reality, and they're starting to dust off perhaps some of the Cold War playbooks, but basically, Russia is turning its back on Europe, but not ominously, I think, on some of its ugly 20th century history. We're going down a very bad road here in world geopolitics.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I think we're saying it's ugly now. It's going to get uglier yet.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to quickly jump to this because I'm sure we're going to come back to that again in a future Peel Back the Onions. But the Supreme Court backed basically the power of states to ban affirmative action, saying that Michigan voters had the right to change their state's constitution. It was 6-2. I think it was inevitable that was going to happen. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think, well, actually, two things. Again, so just peeling back, I was actually surprised by that it was 6-2. How about you? That it was the division between in the Supreme Court. That, I thought, was interesting at one level. And basically it's saying, yes, hey, we back what, and some of the, apparently the argument within the Supreme Court, this went on, I think, for a few days.
Yeah.
Part of it, I think what's interesting here is, so this was not an easy agreement, but it still ended up being 6-2. But the other aspect is the fact that if you look at the statement that they made, the opinion, they're saying, well, we really don't want to interfere. We want to uphold the state's rights when they have an election, right? Because this actually went through about a 6 or 8 year process, through the appellate courts and everything before it got to the Supreme Court. It seems like they didn't want to do this until they were forced to. And here's the interesting thing is that they're saying, yes, we want to uphold if the state, if the people of the state say this is what we want to do, then they should have that right. Well, how come we don't do the same thing with the Defense of Marriage Act? When states are demanding that, they were striking it down in California. There's some inconsistencies in the law here, isn't there? Or how the law is being administered, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely, because of what you just said, as far as the states basically heaping it back. And then when you look at that, you have 7 states that are already in the same situation: Arizona, California, Florida, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and Washington. They already have policies in place. But then roll that forward, what about everybody else? And so, yeah, this is this kind of pick-and-choose law, which is very strange if you think about it.
Well, it's not very strange. They're basically saying if it's a liberal, if it's something that is a liberal policy, then we're okay that the state should decide. But if it's not a liberal policy, then we're going to interfere and rule from the court.
Yeah, well, and that's it. That's the breakdown of the court. You got Roberts and Alito joining Kennedy on the ruling. You have Scalia, Thomas, and Breyer concurring. And you have Sonia Sotomayor, who wrote a dissent backed by Ginsburg that said the decision crushes minority rights and without checks and democratically approved legislation that can oppress minority groups, and that we can't sit back and wish away rather than confront the racial inequality. This is a quote from her that exists in our society. That was what she wrote.
But, I mean, I think bottom line, if you peel it back again, there's an inconsistency in how the Supreme Court is ruling here.
Yeah.
And they're deciding to uphold what the people want, so long as it's a liberal policy, but then they will overrule when states have voted for example, defending marriage in a traditional sense, the marriage being defined between a man and woman, they struck that down because it didn't line up to the liberal policy. Something's wrong there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I'll throw this in too. Justice Kagan recused herself from the case because she worked on affirmative action during the time she was Solicitor General. So that's why that happened. I think most people realize that. All right. Believe it or not, we're out of time. Andrew Szabo, Peel Back the Onion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted, as always, and thank you to your listeners.
How can you save a ton of money and prepare for emergencies? By having your own in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Now you can cut down on wasted food by freeze drying your leftovers. That's right. Create your own long-term food storage by freeze drying your own fruits, meats, vegetables, even complete meals with the Harvest Right in-home freeze dryer. Imagine the savings and the peace of mind. See how the amazing Harvest Right freeze dryer works at harvestright.com.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Counts, so don't forget about that. Everything goes back to the numbers, doesn't it? I'm telling you, you can trace it back, whether we're talking about a disaster or we're talking about how much money is being budgeted in whatever direction they see fit actually coming out of Washington. Although none of that is going on for really the next week and a half because it's still Easter break for the Senate and Congress, of course. Moving along to some other things that are what we would call hot issues across the U.S. I'll tell you what, the massive land grab that's going on, it all started from the Nevada rancher and the eyes that were on that Clive and Bundy deal, I think has really now all of a sudden drawn attention to some other areas, in particular what's happening in Texas and Oklahoma. It's on the Red River and the border between those two states. Recently, there's concern that the Bureau of Land Management might be looking at claiming 90,000 acres of land as part of the public domain. So the agency is arguing that any land in question was determined to be public property. And it seems as though they're not, the BLM says they're not categorically expanding, their words, federal holdings along the Red River, then what are they doing trying to acquisition the 90,000 acres. One bit at a time. One bit at a time. And ranchers are seeing that now these disputes are popping up. And 90,000 acres, that's pretty sizable pieces of land that they're talking about. And the ranchers are saying that the BLM is not being straight with them. So is this piling on the government, or is it the government piling on ranchers and others who have this property along the Red River, for example? And this has all come to light because of the debate of this tense standoff that happened this month in Nevada, after the BLM tried to round up cattle owned by the rancher Cliven Bundy and the people that came to his aid, people that showed up all of a sudden, boom, they had arms and everything else. And they backed off, the government backed off, because they were worried that they were going to have a big showdown. So in the Texas situation, which could be scary because this could spread to other areas, especially out west in the country, that's where most of this is happening, in Texas, the Supreme Court incorporated the Red River as part of the border with Oklahoma about a century ago. I knew that they had done that, but I looked it up, and so it's for definite. Congress clarified the boundaries of the two states even in 2000. So how seriously they are looking at trying to claim this other land, there, I don't know. The BLM is saying that it's just in the initial stages of developing the option for the public lands, but this is how it starts. And then it's too late. Then the property slips away. And then it's gone. And especially in this particular area. So it's now being called the Bundy effect. Why lots of ranchers out west are worried about a land grab. And now in Texas, that's what they're concerned about. In the meantime, even though the politicians who make the laws aren't in town, there's still more conversation over the Keystone Pipeline. And when I say more conversation, that's all it is. And you just wonder, when is Canada going to make a move? When are they going to say, yeah, you know what, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We're not going to do this anymore, and we're just going to negotiate with China, and so any opportunity we thought we had, that's going to evaporate. And the facts are that there is a lot of stonewalling on this. And this is the pipeline that would pull all that synthetic crude oil from the oil sands in Alberta, Canada, to a couple of different spots in the United States. But this long delay is, I think, is just to get out of this administration so that they don't have to deal with it at this point because of promises made to environmentalists and the arguments over the pipeline and the safety of the pipeline. So, you know, originally gets a little bit of the okay. Now suddenly it's stalled and it's stalled and it's stalled again. And think about this, politics. Get out of the administration and midterm elections. So last week, they jumped on a court ruling in Nebraska to delay the decision one more time on the pipeline. One more time. In February, a district judge in Nebraska ruled that lawmakers there had violated the state constitution, remember this, when they gave the governor the authority to approve a route for the pipeline that crossed private land. Comes back to the land again. So the judge said that the decision-making power really rested with the Public Service Commission, and this is now what we're talking about. The lower court decision is going to be appealed by the Nebraska Supreme Court. So there's more stall happening on this than action again. The State Department had expected to determine in the next few weeks if they would recommend the pipeline on a route that crosses from Canada into the U.S. through the middle part of the country, the heartland. But State Department announced an indefinite delay because of the Nebraska court case. Boy, and the president should send them the best thank you that he can possibly think of. So it's strange because we were talking about this, that the State Department had decided it wouldn't affect, the Nebraska case wouldn't affect their review, and that the state, and you know, it's the State Department that has to determine if the project serves the national interest, believe it or not. And so far they're saying yes. In fact, in January, the State Department released its final environmental report on the project, and they concluded it would have minimal impact, which we knew 2 years ago. But okay, now it's official. Now they're going to sit on this. They say they're going to take the time to review the 2.5 million public comments they received. 2.5 million. This pushes it off the plate of anybody who could be affected by it in the November midterm elections. And probably through the rest of this administration, maybe. So this has been 5 years in the making. And why? What happens with during this five-year period? Why? What would it do to help the United States? It would link oil sands in Alberta to American ports and refineries in the Gulf of Mexico. It would make the North American energy industry way more efficient. It would improve safety by delivering oil through pipeline rather than shipping it by train. It's riskier. It would put more people to work. Enough reasons yet? I think that's a lot of reasons. So the Supreme Court of Nebraska is going to eventually make a ruling. And they could uphold the lower court decision, which would force new deliberations in the state about the pipeline route. Or route. It could overturn the lower court decision. So the State Department doesn't have to wait for Nebraska, but they're using this. And I think they're using it because it's convenient and this gets them out of any sticky situation. Wait for the dust to settle, politically speaking, on the midterms and in Nebraska. So ridiculous when you think January was when they had the report back. So a lot of people are starting to write about this. Some of what you heard came from an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune. And this is the same things that we've been talking about. That these are stall tactics. That this was approved long ago in a sense that it passed the hurdles of the environmental impact reports. But once again was redone. So there wasn't a sting when it came to the elections. And that's really what we're talking about here. So just playing with this. Pipeline, no pipeline. Talking about the reasons why it's so much more dangerous by train versus doing it by the pipeline and the many checks and balances that they have in place. So this is just a waiting game now at this point. Just a waiting game. Sadly. You don't have to wait anymore, though. Coming back on the flip side, I got numbers for you. Numbers next on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
I love that. Seven! All right, so topping this edition of We Can Count, I'll tell you what, this whole thing with the stowaway and what happened in Maui and some people questioning the validity of it is just crazy. This is what the deal is. They're saying now that the boy who survived the wheel well in flying from San Jose, jumping the fence, and jumping a flight to Maui, the hitchhiking it, is that the reason he did it is he said he was trying to get to Somalia to see his mother. So he's in a hospital in Hawaii, and nobody's saying his name yet at this point. We know he's 16 years old. He spent 6 hours on the ground before the plane took off. And then, I mean, he jumped an airport fence. That's how he ended up there. At 1 a.m. on Sunday, before the flight took off at 7:55. Boy, this kid was serious about doing it. And they didn't know he climbed into the wheel well. The plane was at the airport at 1 a.m. And they didn't think the teenager knew where the plane was headed. And he just went to the nearest plane. So it wasn't about... That's all it was about. He just jumped on the plane, on the wheel well. And then it turned out to be Maui. At this point, he's in the custody of child welfare service workers. And he told the authorities, basically, he was from Santa Clara. He ran away from home on Sunday. And the idea is that he wants to see his mother. Boy, it's still mind-boggling. It's worth repeating this if you haven't heard me say this. The plane went as high as 38,000 feet. I mean, against all odds. He wasn't smashed when the wheels came down. Oxygen deprivation, can you imagine? And very few people. There have been other stowaways, and some have made it, but it's not likely. The odds are not great. They think he was in, and I've said this too before, he was in a virtual hibernative state is what they're calling it. But the new twist on it is what I mentioned, the fact that he was going, he wants to get to his mother in Somalia, and that's part of what this was about. This was part of the whole thing of staking out a plane, being there, waiting all those hours, and then the plane going to Maui. And wow, what a story. I mean, what a story. Unbelievable. All right, speaking of unbelievable stories, we've talked about this a ton. The situation in Korea, but the number here that's interesting is now with some of these funerals taking place, the number of crew members that are being charged keeps on rising. But there's a crew member that is not part of this. Park Ji-young, who was 22, and witnesses say she helped passengers escape and distributed life jackets one after the other to the students as the ferry was sinking. When she ran out of jackets, she ran to the next floor to grab more. And when she was asked why she wasn't wearing a life jacket, she said that crew members would be last and that she had to help others first. That's what witnesses are saying, remembering her. And now she's in a funeral home in her hometown. She's one of the more than 100 people dead. There's still 174 people missing. So in all the tales of what the crew did and what the captain did, to hear that kind of story, I think is great for her family to know that, hey, she was part of the crew, and she went down with the ship. She gave out every single life jacket that she could and tried to help every single person that she could on that boat, unlike the captain of the ship, who really should have gone down with the ship or gotten as many kids off that he could have and did not do that. Here's a crazy number story for you. In 2014, Buffalo Bills starting quarterback E.J. Manuel will cost the team $2.2 million against their cap. Thanks to a lawsuit from a fan, the Bills will pay about $1 million more than that for just their phone bill. Check this out. A U.S. district judge, I thought I was misreading this when I saw this story, a U.S. district judge issued a preliminary approval to a $3 million settlement in a 2012 class action lawsuit filed against the team. A Bills fan who claimed the franchise violated the agreement of its opt-in texting service. Right? The suit claims the Bills promised no more than 5 text messages would be disseminated to fans each week. So what happened was the fan, Jerry Wozjak, got 13 texts over a 2-week span. He filed the suit on behalf of 40,000 fans who subscribed to the service. So the settlement is going to be paid out in gift cards to the team store or the team's website. It was approved in Tampa Bay, in a Tampa Bay court last week, and up to $2.5 million in vouchers are going to go to the 39,000-plus fans who signed up for the service. The remaining money will be distributed to his attorneys and to him himself. He'll get like $5,000. Wow. How crazy is that? And the Bills had to release a statement. They just said, we've reached a settlement in this matter, which we believe is in the best interest of our organization and our fans. The purpose of the Bills' voluntary opt-in text messaging program was to provide our fans with information they requested about the team. The organization maintains that our text messaging program was in compliance with the law. They weren't expecting that. Nobody looked into the cost, didn't realize that, and didn't think anybody any fan certainly was going to come up with the idea of, wait a second, why are we paying this? This isn't what we were told. And that they were going to, in fact, have to pay. All right, speaking of paying, this will make you see a little bit red. Delinquent IRS employees have been paid bonuses by the dreaded three letters. Yep. So they're in damage control mode again, of course, as always. An audit revealed that they paid these bonuses to people who were in trouble over tax issues. About $2.8 million. Thousands of hours of paid time off doled out over 2 years to people who had been disciplined for various kinds of misconduct. About $1 million of that money was given as bonuses to 1,100 employees who were in trouble over taxes, some kind of issue related to taxes, which you can't be with the IRS. So, although federal regulations don't require the IRS to consider tax compliance of employees when issuing bonuses, they say they're going to change the policy because of what the audit is suggesting. Isn't that wild? So everybody else, they just pound you to death. But wait, for them, it's a little bit different. This has gone over the past 4 years. They say they haven't issued awards to any executives who were in disciplinary action. They just did it to the other people. So you just have to go all the way back a little bit and find out who those people are and clean up the problem. It's so typical of the IRS, isn't it? And lately, it's been a rough road for them. It's been nothing but really rough, rough publicity, deservedly so, for what they're doing. All right, we were talking about getting text information before. How about the New York Police Department, their Twitter campaign backfiring in a very big, big way? And how did that happen? The New York City Police Department on Tuesday asked people on Twitter to post photos with the officers using the hashtag MyNYPD. So the response was pretty big, but overwhelmingly negative. Hijacking the hashtag, users posted photographs that alleged to show police brutality or misconduct. And that's what happened. Like Occupy Wall Street, all the people just dug up stuff. And so they didn't realize it. When you do Twitter, the hashtag can be deadly. Not thinking about that. Oh, my. Instead thinking, hey, we're progressive. Let's get a lot of these photos with our police officers. It didn't take long for them to realize, oh, this is not an effective way to communicate. Twitter is an open forum, but this isn't really working. So that wasn't a good one. That was a bad campaign. Thanks for listening to This Hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.